This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good afternoon, evening. What is
it? Lord Jesus, I'm back in
He's
this motherfucker.
Back in the building.
Yes.
I've missed you. You've been away.
You've been travelling the world, you know how I roll.
I know, you've been off.
Man. You've been holding the fort, you've been doing brilliantly.
I've been holding it down.
Holding it down, I know.
Seriously, I think I've just about got control of these buttons now.
And now I'm here to fuck it all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
So how have you been? Where have you been?
I've been in Toronto Film Festival. Not watching any films, although I should have seen loads. You look great, by the way.
Schmoozing.
What the fuck's been going on here? You look fantastic.
I think I dyed my hair, I did my nails.
Fantastic, yeah. And then I was in Dublin filming something secret. I can't tell you.
Zoe
Saldana.
Yeah.
Check my Instagram, guys, Noel Clark. And then, you know, wheeling and dealing, man, producing
been
shit
here, there.
And doing stuff, and now I'm back.
Yeah, you're back, everyone. Well, we've had a great couple of shows. Well, I am glad that you're back with us. If you've got any questions for Noel, please just tweet in at FUBAR Radio or email chill at foobarradio.com.
Yeah, what she said.
We'd like to hear from you. We've got a really jam-packed show
today. I don't
really
care about hearing about you from you, but send them in.
Well, I want to hear from the people. I like the people.
I love the people too, but I'm indifferent.
And then we've got a jam-packed show today. We've got some pretty cool guests. We've got Dot Brown coming in again.
Dot Brown up in this motherfucker.
He came in before, but we didn't get to give him the full amount of airspace that I'd like to give the Doctor of
Great.
Brown. So he's coming in. We've also got the directors of a film, Who's Gonna Love Me Now? It's
Great
playing
film.
At the... Oh, have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Oh,
I've done some homework, bitch.
You've done your homework.
Yeah.
10 points to you.
Yeah.
I've got two new games that I'm going to play with you.
Fantastic.
And Doc, which is exciting.
I've got a new game to play with you that I learned in Toronto as well.
Okay, let's play. I'm intrigued. So yeah, it's going to be a great show. Stay tuned. I think we're going to go to our first song, so we're going to start off.
Do it.
It's Friday night, so let me see which one I want to go for. I'm going to go for a bit of Ray Charles.
Okay, go for Ray Charles.
Ray Charles, which was... I saw a film this week. It's an old school VHS film.
This is a film show, so hopefully you've been seeing
it. I saw films. The Dream Team. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Okay, it's Michael Keaton and Christopher Waltz. No, not Christopher Waltz.
Walken?
Christopher Waltz, got it right.
Christoph Waltz?
No.
Christopher Walken.
The guy who plays the Doc in Back to the Future.
Oh, yes, what's his name? Christopher Lloyd.
That's the one, Lloyd. I knew it was a Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's them. It's an old 80s like classic, and it's a fantastic film about four mental patients who they go on a day trip to a basketball game or a baseball game even in the 80s. And
different sport.
They lose their doctor, they lose their carer, and they go on
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
And it's got a great soundtrack, and it really inspired
me.
So
guys, this is a film show, and this is what we do, educate you about
exactly.
films.
Exactly, so let's get a bit Ray Charles, start the show, and we're going to be back with our first guest on Back Row and Chill.
If you say so, I have to find
their tune. So, what was your highlight for Toronto Film Festival?
Well, Toronto Film Festival, obviously one of the biggest festivals in the world. We had we had Brotherhood out there, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Brotherhood was in the festival, did very, very well. And really showed that, you know, you always hear that these films don't play to international audience, but actually had a very big audience out there. We filled 3 screenings of 1,000 seats. And United Kingdom was there as well. You met Emma a few weeks ago, and Arnold was with us. And essentially, you know, Toronto, for those guys who don't know, this is a film show, as I keep reminding you. For those guys who don't know, Toronto, one of the biggest film festivals, celebrates films from all around the world. They get entered in. You get to see loads of different films. I didn't see any because I was working, doing loads of meetings. But essentially, it was a really, really great festival. And anyone who's wanting to work in film, if you ever get into film, I think Toronto is definitely the festival to visit. And right now we have London Film Festival is on.
Yeah, it's cracking on. And like, I go past the embankment, they're building this massive cinema on the embankment to show all the films, and I can see it being erected. And
erected, I bet you can see being erected.
I can see that.
Doesn't surprise me, Johanna. Mm-hmm. Right, did you know that yesterday at the London Film Festival, the BFI released a whole bunch of stats about from their programme Black Star about diversity, and anyone who hasn't seen that should look at Screen International links and look at that. But the news was... it talked about black actors that had led films. Okay. And, you know, in the top 10 films that feature black actors, 3 of my films are in there. And also, the black actor who's been in the most leading roles in this country, they called him prolific of all time, was me, weirdly. How fucked is that?
Prolific me.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know whether to be proud because it's me or is it a disgrace because it is me, because it should be...
A lot of people.
It should be a lot of people, and it's not.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, wasn't that thing? I think I saw something that you posted on your Facebook. It was like 60%.
That's the So you didn't read the article. Click the article.
And no, I didn't.
She didn't read the article. This is my Facebook friend here, Johanna James, who doesn't actually read the things I put up. Just looked at the headline.
I wanted to, but I've been a bit busy today. I've been off interviewing and doing things, doing prep, been working.
I've missed you, you know.
I missed you too.
Right. Let's get on with it.
Right. We've got our first guest. Coming in, so we're going to speak to him in a moment. I think he's in the studio. Hello over there. So I think we're going to go for our second song because I'm feeling the music. So what have I got? Ooh, okay,
guys, what has she been playing while I've been away? Someone email me and let me know.
He's let me go mad.
I'm going to come back with some proper tunes in the next couple of weeks. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, maybe you like. Okay, you might like this one. I've been looking up all the different top movies and top soundtracks from different movies.
Great.
So I've got like a wide selection today. Okay. I think I'm going to go for a bit David Bowie.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I will save you. Hashtag I will save you. Noel will save you.
I
promise.
I've got good stuff. I've got Salt and Pepper and Captain Conan coming up later. I'm doing a nice wide variety. Maybe, okay.
There might be hope.
No, okay. This is David Bowie Golden Years, which was used in the film A Knight's Tale, and actually probably many others. It's a proper classic. So.
And we do love David, by the way.
We do love a bit of Bowie.
I do miss him.
Bit of British, yeah.
Not as much as I miss you, but I miss him.
Oh, thanks, babe. All right, okay, we're going to grab our first guest, and this is David Bowie Golden Years.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come love, baby.
This might be the lost but so.
Opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come love the baby. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never the thick or tall act fine. Come love the baby.
I'll stick with you, baby, for 1,000 years. But there's more to touch you in these golden years.
Of a dream car 20 foot long. Don't cry, my sweet, don't break my heart.
doing all right, you gotta get smart. Wish upon, day upon day, I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
There's my baby lost, that's all. Me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come with the baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stick with you, baby, for a thousand years. Nothing's gonna touch you in these golden years.
Paradox, because you engage on an extraordinarily intimate and personal level, but it's only that far. It's only as far as you,
know,
as you let it go.
As
someone in
that.
A relationship, I always felt outside of that, and I wanted to be inside of it, and you wouldn't let me in. There were times like when we were making love, I couldn't get you to look me in the eye. As soon as I got my diagnosis, the first thought that came into my head, who's going to love me now? Who's going to love me now?
Okay, that was a soundbite from the new documentary, Who's Going to Love Me Now? And we have the co-director and producer of that documentary in the studio, Alexander Bowden-Safir.
That's how you pronounce it, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
I just,
done.
I just say with confidence something and
well done.
Hope it's right.
I just go, hey, man. I'm
hey,
not saying
hey,
anything.
Dude.
I'm just like,
how
yo,
you?
Bro.
Alex,
how you doing?
Welcome.
Thank
thanks
you.
For coming on
Thank
the show.
You.
So your documentary, it's being shown at the London Film Festival.
It is, yep.
At the present.
This weekend, in fact.
Oh, this weekend.
Yeah. What time? Tell people the time.
So it's going to be at Hackney Picture House at 5:15 on Saturday and at 9:15 in the evening, if you want a late show, on Sunday night at Leicester Square View.
Oh, nice.
There will be a Q&A afterwards, if you're into that kind of thing,
yeah.
With me and the Israeli filmmaker, one of the Israeli filmmakers who's come over especially for it. And yeah, come along.
Great. Let me just, this is powerful stuff. Let me just say something to the listeners, because obviously our show probably has a certain demographic that may think, oh man, documentary, oh, gay people and all that. And let's not lie, that's kind of the demographic of this show. You know, I think people that do listen to this show, that hopefully I and Johanna have educated, you know, these are things you need to watch. These are things you have to go and see, you know, to educate yourself about the world and about life and about what people go through. So, you know, I'm going to hand over to you for you to say more, but I just want you guys to, you know, take things seriously. You know, we put things on this show so that, you know, everyone that emails in and says, I want to get into film, I want to do this. You're understanding that there's many complexities and many things in film and documentary and life, and this is why you're here to learn. Over to you.
And actually, you know what, I mean, oh, gay films, oh, documentary. That was me not so long ago.
Yeah.
I swore I'd never make a documentary film. Mm. And I never anticipated I'd make anything.
Tell us what it's
yeah,
about.
Yeah, just the premise of...
Yeah, tell us what it's about for the listeners before, and then tell us that story there, because I think I really want them to understand what this is about.
Sure, I mean, it's about life. It's about the pursuit of finding a family and finding a home. It's about a Israeli man who's gay and HIV positive and is thrown out from his family because of his sexuality. Mm. And he comes to London and he discovers a life that he never knew existed, and he joins the London Gay Men's Chorus.
Yeah.
And if you're going to find a family that's going to accept you, there is no better family than the London Gay Men's Chorus.
Then a chorus.
And then the universe threw him a curveball, as the universe sometimes does, and the opportunity to reconcile with a family that he really thought he would never see again. And our film is 5 years following that kind of reconciliation process, or not reconciliation, you know. And really, it's a testament to... I mean, you talk about gay film, you talk about documentary. This, for me, is not a gay film. This is a film.
Yeah.
This is a story.
No, 100%. And I'm just talking from the way some of our listeners would respond.
Listen, I'm a straight man who fell in love with this story, and I didn't expect to that at all.
Yeah.
What happened was some friends of mine said, look, we want some help making a film. We got this guy. We want you to meet him. We want you to do a bit of filming. Just a couple of days. And I said, I'm working on a feature film. I'm writing something. I don't have time. And they said, look, half an hour for a drink.
Yeah.
And when you see this film, you'll understand that half an hour with Saar, the lead character, turned into 3 hours.
I can imagine.
I didn't want to leave. He had to throw me out. And it's just because he's captivating, and his story is just so engrossing. And it's not a gay story. I mean, it has gay elements in it, but I mean, it is a universal story about family, about belonging, and something I think that everybody can relate to. It's one of the reasons why the BFI became involved.
It is, but yeah, it's about family essentially, and you know, regardless of regardless of who or what you are, you know, it's about how your family can react to your choices and your lifestyle. You know, and it's very interesting, especially his brother. I was really surprised by his brother. You know, the older brother.
Sure, sure.
Really surprised by that.
Listen, I mean, that family is phenomenal. And the other thing that I think is really important is dialogue and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, these guys have all got very, very different perspectives on life. And they don't always agree. But the fact that they can talk, the fact that they can actually have these conversations and put their points across and listen to each other. And it's not just waiting to talk. It's actually really listening to each other.
But that took a moment in itself. You know, there was there are moments in there when he says, you know, you didn't even know I was sick. And then says, I didn't even want to tell you because you don't listen. So, you know, in the span of time, those conversations start happening, you know, where the brother and the wife come and say, look, we need to tell you something. And you think, OK, well, that's progress. Because before, you weren't saying anything. You were just talking at him angrily whenever he turned up.
And that's 5 years worth of journey condensed into 84 minutes.
And you filmed over 5 years? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why I love documentaries.
Yeah.
It's like there's effort in every film, but like that is like patience is the word, not effort, patience.
And that, I mean, but that's a dying art. That long form documentary is something that doesn't happen so often because the funding's not there for it.
That's right.
And you know, I just came back from a BFI filmmakers reception, and they gave me a glass of wine, so I'm going to sing their praises.
I think I was supposed to be there. You know?
I think you probably were.
I think you were
meant to get a bag with some tea pig tea in it.
Tea pig tea, great. I love your tea.
How British! The London Film Festival gives you tea.
not only that, it's popcorn tea.
Oh, interesting.
How cool
popcorn
is that?
Popcorn tea. Everything's getting popcorn flavoured now.
It better taste the popcorn if I drink it. I'm assuming that I'm taking that from you. You know, you're in my hood now, so this is a hood show. I'm robbing you of that popcorn.
I should not have brought this
popcorn
out.
Popcorn tea. They're having popcorn cocktails now. That's the trendiest cocktail to have.
And so, for you, what was the real crux of wanting to tell Saar's story? Because I mean, it is an amazing story from the men's chorus. I love when the dad just says, "I want to just call them a men's choir," and he says, "No, you have to call them by their proper name." And then he makes
London
a point.
Gay men's chorus,
Gay Men's Chorus. And then the dad says, "But why do you want to give the audience a reason to discriminate before they've even opened their ears?" And although I agreed with Saar in terms of the name, I thought actually that's a good point. You almost want them to go, "This is brilliant," and then go, "Ah, boom,
we're gay,"
and then see how they react. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's the reason I want to get involved, because quite simply, these are all incredibly three-dimensional characters that we can all relate to. And every single one, even when you don't relate to, you know, the crux of what they're saying, you understand where they're coming from. And
well, not when he says, he told me he was gay, I told him to take some pills. I didn't quite...
but you know what? By the end of it, Khatri, the father,
yes.
Really goes on a journey.
He does, and you've massively. Got to respect that's my. That. That's kind of my favorite. If it was a movie, like I mean, it is a movie. That's my. The dad stuff is my favorite stuff, man.
And you know what? It's crazy because we spent days, weeks in the edit trying to, you know, work out who Khatri was and how to tell that story. And to their credit, the Heyman brothers were adamant that we had to make him as three-dimensional as possible.
Yeah.
And I come from a fiction background, and you know what? In fiction, we rely on these protagonists and antagonists.
Because you could have made him a villain easily.
You could have made him a proper villain, right?
Yeah.
And it's all in the edit, you know? Yeah. And you just cut a little bit here, cut a little bit there. And what's amazing is that we didn't. And he still has that incredible journey.
Yeah, it's great.
I'll tell you something. It's screened in Israel. The summer.
Wow, how did they take it?
So in Israel, they are, on the gay issue, they're actually quite progressive, but HIV is still quite a taboo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it really pushed some boundaries. And what's amazing about it is that it's really opened some people's eyes. But Khatri, the father, has become a proper celebrity, because actually he comes out as a really fascinating role model of dialogue and of change and actually now
because
now
I guess he represents the regular man out there.
He represents, I mean, he's certainly a certain kind of man out there for sure.
Mm.
But what's really amazing is that, you know, there are there was a screening in Jerusalem a few months ago where a religious girl came up and said, look, I'm gay and I want to come out to my parents, but I don't know how to do it.
Wow.
And he welcomed her on stage and he said,
wow.
First, he gave her a hug,
yeah,
which wasn't a given where he'd come from. And secondly, he said, you know, if you need my help, if you want me to come with you, I'm here for you.
Wow.
And for that opportunity...
Did you guys film that too?
That was actually filmed, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And I just got shivers.
Yeah.
You know,
I was like thinking, I hope they did, man.
No, of course. And I think for me, the opportunity to work on a film that isn't just entertainment, but it actually, you know, can change hearts and minds, mm-hmm. that it is part of a community and of a society changing their opinions and their way in which they view things. It's an opportunity that you don't get very often as a filmmaker.
Okay, listen, we just got this email in from someone who doesn't want to be named. I've recently come out and this film sounds so good. I haven't been accepted by everyone and I've been feeling like I don't belong. This guest and your words have given me some comfort. That may sound strange, but thank you. Man, amazing.
No, amazing. So, do me a favour. Totally anonymously.
Yes.
If you can go back to them, and I've got a comp ticket for them.
If you're
Sunday.
Still listening, do we have the email? Yeah, we have got the email. So if you're still listening, we're going to get you a ticket. You don't have to tell anyone, but hopefully you'll come down and watch it. And we'll get the radio show to contact you. And I hope that this helps. And have you got any words for this young person? They haven't said if they're a boy or a girl, but do you have anything... And to say, I'll let you read that as well.
Amazing. I mean, really, I've got goosebumps. Come on down, and you know what? If you want to bring the family, just as an opening conversation starter, I've got tickets for you.
So should we put your email in the email that we
absolutely,
send back to? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there you go, man, or girl. Hopefully, you'll get to see this film and see how amazing it is. And you know, don't feel like you don't belong for coming out. Everyone belongs. There's space for everyone on the planet. You know, so just, you know, be you. That's the most important thing.
And hang in there. I mean, these things change. It takes time for people to just readjust their perception. And but you don't need to change. You are cool.
I feel that there has been a shift in even just like looking at my friends and my friends' parents and my parents' generation. In me growing up, they've shifted their thoughts patterns, which has been amazing to see. Because initially, I think my parents and that whole generation anyone I knew at that age were way more reserved and conservative, and now they're so liberal.
Well, people didn't understand issues.
Yeah,
you know, that was a thing, and hopefully, and people still don't. People still don't.
Film
so
is one of the best ways to communicate that, because everybody can sit and watch. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to be talking about it. You can sit and absorb it and then go and think on it.
So, guys, that is Who's Gonna Love Me Now?
Yeah.
And screening tomorrow.
Screening
and Hackney.
Tomorrow
in Hackney, and Sunday at the Leicester Square View.
Leicester Square View. Make sure you guys go and see it. It is very, very powerful. It is an amazing story, and I loved it, and you will love it. And there's some good music too.
And this will give you. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
All the best of luck. And right, we're going to pop to our next song. This is Salt and Pepper, going back
good.
To the 90s. This
thank
is from.
God.
Can you guess where this was from? It was in a film out this year. One of my favourite films this year.
No, I don't.
Deadpool.
Deadpool. I'm assuming it's Push It.
No, it's Shoop.
Oh, Shoop. Oh,
yeah.
That was a good one. Shoop.
I know, isn't it?
Shooper
baby,
Shoop.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to that. And, you're on Back Row and Chill.
Hey, yeah. I want to shoot, baby. Shoop.
Ooh. How you doing, baby?
Shoop.
No. Not you.
Ooh.
You.
Shoop.
The bow-legged one. Yeah.
Ooh.
What's your name?
Shoop.
Damn, baby. That sounds sexy. Here I go again,
oh,
girls,
man.
What's my weakness?
Man.
Okay, then chilling, minding my business.
Word.
Your thoughts, I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going over something kinda, wicked, had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I ask for the digits. I hope no, that don't make me see what I want, slip, slide to it swiftly. Felt it in my hips, so I dip back to my bag of tricks. Then I flip for a tip, made me wanna do tricks. Gonna lick them like a lollipop should be lit. Came to my senses and I chill for a bit. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell, hell makes me wanna shoot. You're packed in your stack, especially in the back. Brother, wanna thank your mother for a butt like that. Can I get some fries with that shake booby? If looks could kill you, would be an Uzi or a shotgun bang. What's up with that thing? I wanna know, how does it hang? Straight up, wait up, hold up, Mr. Lover. Like Prince said, you're a sexy mother. Well, I like them real wild. B-boy style by the mile. Smooth black skin with a smile, bright as the sun. I wanna have some fun. Come and give me some of that yum yum chocolate chip honey dip. Can I get a scoop?
Please.
Baby, take a ride in my coupe. You make me wanna make me wanna shoot.
Hit the skins for the hell of it, just for the yell I get, for the smell of it.
Smelly.
You want my ball, here's the hot rod.
Hot
12
rod.
Inches to a yard and have you sounding like a big corn lover, 6'2", wanna hit you.
So what you wanna do?
What you wanna do?
I wanna shoot.
Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
On the FUBAR.
Woo! The king is back. Listen, I'm just going to check this. Listen, so we just got an email in from Petra.
Petra.
Hey guys, Noel, you are back. Woo!
Woo!
I missed you. Well, Petra, I missed you. Oh, I'm interested in becoming a set designer. What tips can you give me?
Make shit.
Yeah, start making shit and go for it. Go for it. The best tip, there are set designers that you can find that worked on films. Contact them. Don't be shy. They usually have their emails on IMDb, which is a website. Contact them and see if you can get some work experience. And contact us when we do our next film and see if we can squeeze you in.
Because there's two ways to really sort of get into the industry. One is to go and train, do a degree or a course or something in it. And then the other is to start from scratch and just go as an intern and just give your time, learn
on
the job.
How did you get into the industry, Johanna James?
Well, I started by going to uni.
Okay, no, the real story that I want you to tell.
Well, this is what happened. I went to uni and I trained in costume for film. Mm-hmm. And then I left uni. My first film that I wanted to be an actress. And the first film that I ever did was working on Noel's film, Stories 24.
Wow.
And I was putting all the it's a horror film, so I was doing
it was
all
a horror
the
film.
All the
so
horror.
I hope you guys are listening. So Johanna James went to uni, and then the first film she did, worked on costume wise after her uni, was Stories 24. And then 5 years later, here we are working together. You see, this shit happens, man.
But it was,
and you are an actress. You're in like two of our films now as well.
Well, it was funny how it happened. So I was on set, and then it was lunchtime, and everyone went off set at lunch. And then it was me, you, a couple of other people. We were playing around on the set with cameras, and we were just having fun, basically.
Yes.
And then I remember the producers of that film came to you and said, "Oh, we found the trailer that we want to use, or bit for the trailer, bit of the poster, or something."
Yes.
And they showed it to you, and you went, "She ain't in the film.
She's not in the film. She's it was you in the fucking tunnel.
She's a costume girl."
You have now fucked yourself, because I still have those pictures. And I have pictures of you doing cartwheels and doing the splits, which I'm going to send to the guys at the station so they can put up on the site. Yes.
5 years ago. I don't think I'm that flexible anymore.
I'll ask your fella.
But that's how... Go on, text him now.
I'll text him now. Can she still do the splits, bro? Yeah, go on anyway.
But that's how our friendship started, and that's how I got into... And then you really encouraged me to go for the acting rather than the costume, because that's what I really wanted to do.
And now you're amazing at all your stuffy things that you do on sketchy stuff and those various things that you're amazing at. And you're an actress.
No, I act, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was... Do you remember the nickname for me that you gave me?
Bubalina.
Awesome sauce.
You mean the other nickname?
No, actually, it was Bubalina Awesome Sauce.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, see,
it was.
See,
but yeah. So, but anyone who does, to come back to the point, anyone who does want to get into the industry, there are many ways to do so,
and including meeting me, because that's how I roll. I just hook people up.
Just get yourself onto a film set and train well in your passion. Just keep, you know, if you want to be a set designer, make shit.
How amazing is that? We just met, and now we're working together.
I know.
Well, we've worked together for years, but like we're mates. Anyway, entertainment news. Get on with
entertainment.
It.
Entertainment news. News, guys, let's have a little bit of a, because it's the entertainment news.
Well, that's new.
I know, I've got all sorts of things going on.
Press
right
number
now.
13 for me. Has it still got my shit on there?
Number I think it's Moo. Oh yeah, wait, here we go.
Aruba Shaka.
Here we go.
Oh great.
We're playing with the toys.
Okay.
So entertainment news.
Yeah, tell me some
I've
shit.
Been doing a bit of research about movies that are coming out, what's coming up, what is in production. And the first thing that's really hit the internet this week is it's the brand new Pirates of the Caribbean trailer.
Wow.
Has been dropped.
Wow.
I've got mixed feelings about
that. Like, is there black people in it?
Yeah.
There is.
But there always has been in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, but it was like, it was always like Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean with three black people.
But it's like Zoe Saldana was
like
in the
Pirates
first
of
one.
The Caribbean?
Yeah.
It's not called Pirates of Sweden, is it?
Historically, the Jamaica, the town,
yeah, okay,
it was
dig,
very,
dig, dig, dig,
very
dig,
British, you know, occupied, wasn't it? But so the trailer's dropped. Dead Men Tell No Tales. Johnny Depp is back.
Great.
So this is when obviously it was filmed amidst all that hullabaloo with Amber Heard. And
what's her name again?
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
Yes.
So Johnny is back, although he's not in the trailer, which is odd. But a really some really gorgeous actor is. So I didn't mind.
I wasn't cast in that film, babe.
No, it wasn't you.
Oh,
it was this other guy. But and it's also got the his name is slipping my mind, but he was the baddie in Skyfall.
Javier Bardem.
That's the one.
Javier. Fucking
Javier.
Hell. Like, you're not hearing this. Javier. Unbelievable.
What? I just read it. I said it as I read it, all right?
Javier. Yeah, Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem, isn't he? Yeah, he's in that new film. But this is Pirates of the Caribbean number 5, and Johnny Depp has been quoted to say he will continue making pirate films until the kids say stop. So
Johnny? Stop, bro.
The kids say stop.
Stop, brother. Let's just do this one. It's out. It's filmed now. It's there. We love you to bits, Jonathan. But let's hold off on any like six and seven.
The dog is dead, guys. The dog is dead. Apparently, Orlando Bloom's coming back though.
Yeah, well, he needs it, doesn't he? So
I think he needs the work. Right, also what's been in filming at the moment is the sequel to Jumanji, which again, I don't know how I feel about that.
Is it a sequel or is it a remake?
It's a sequel. They've been very... Because I think there was a lot of like people getting very sensitive about Jumanji is one of my favourite kid films ever.
Yeah, it's a great
and they
film.
Say it's not a remake. It is a continuation of the story. So it's the same board game, but a different...
Amazing.
A different
amazing.
Thing. It's got Jack Black... Dwayne Johnson, Karen.
You Jimmy. Mean The Rock? If you smell
The Rock is cooking.
Yeah.
Who I met earlier this year and I love him.
You did. Still mopping up in the studio, guys.
He was so amazing.
Kevin Hart. And Karen Gillan.
Gillan, yeah.
You were gonna say Gillan there, weren't you?
I was I was.
Yeah, Karen Gillan, she's amazing.
I've got namaslexia, okay?
That's a good one. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she and all the loads of they released a poster on the first day of filming of everybody, all the characters, and then there was a big
backlash because she was in little shorts.
Because she was in teeny weeny clothes, and even I thought it when I saw it. I went, "Why is the girl in ridiculous tiny things?"
Because most films are made by men, and we like to see women in skimpy clothes.
Well, apparently, both The Rock and Karen have come back and said that there is a reason and a purpose.
Yes, there is.
Why she's wearing child's clothes, and I went, "Oh, okay, maybe that's a little cue."
I think they just did it, and then after the backlash, they came up with a thing.
They're
which
like,
they
"We need to rewrite the movie." So
the bottom line is, there's absolutely no reason why the woman should be in skimpier clothes than the men, other than usually execs are men and they just like it. So it's not really acceptable. I guess it comes down to the girl and how the girls feel comfortable, whether they want to do it or not. You know,
yeah.
But it's not really acceptable.
So I'm excited.
But like, what next? Baywatch with everyone in wetsuits. I mean, come on. Like
Burka watch.
Let's not mess about with it. Let's not go there.
Let's not go to France right now. I'm kind of excited about Jumanji 2. I'm going to give it a go.
Did you ever see that Simpsons episode where they're getting chased by the animals in the zoo and Homer's like, "I know what to do, Jumanji," and then nothing happens and the rhino headbutts him? It's quality. You should find it. It's really good.
But also, I read up to think it was because The Rock's producing it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of trust, after seeing some of his stuff he's done recently, I trust his comedy. I trust, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to give faith in you.
He's pretty funny.
And he said that they're very conscious that they want to do a good job to Robin Williams and the fantastic film. So there is going to be an ode to Alan Parrish.
Great.
There's going to be some sort of, even though it's a cross story, and because it's set in a jungle, and obviously Alan spent most of his life in a jungle, so maybe there's going to be some sort of like nod to Alan.
Oh,
so
that would be nice.
That's cool. The other things that are coming up, we've got a real life Mulan. So anyone who liked the original,
yeah, Mulan. So Disney seem to be doing this thing where all their classic animated films that were on when, well, actually I wasn't born or I was very very young. Snow White. Oh no! Snow White, The Huntsman, Cinderella.
Yep.
Now Mulan, this Jungle Book. Now Mulan, they're doing live action versions of all their classic animated films. How do you feel about this?
I love the originals, and I think someone's just trying to make money. This was great. Let's make even more. But however, saying that though, Mulan, that would be a good live action story. That's a bloody good story.
And if we're thinking about the older, you know, dragon in the room, as it were, because you know it'll be a lot of jobs for Asian actors.
Yeah,
I'm guessing
totally
actors of color
on a mainstream. And I don't know how they would, how Disney they would do it. Whether it would have like a talking Mushu dragon or whatever. Whether they would just keep it as a straight story about a girl dressing up as a guy.
Yeah, probably the dragon will still be there.
But I preferred Mulan to like Cinderella. Like watching them as kids, I just remember going watching Mulan and being like, yeah, I want to get a sword and cut my hair off and be a guy. And rather than the Cinderella being like, oh, I want to like.
Yeah, but you've achieved that now. So what else do you want to do?
Cut my hair off. I've been a guy. You're a guy.
I've heard. Yeah.
I've fought the Hun. No.
and you said a live action. What else?
There is a live action Lion King
being made.
Being in the pipeline. The Mulan one's actually signed off, and it's like 2017 to shoot.
Yeah.
The Lion King is like in the pipeline.
I mean, that's again a live action. I mean, they're just shitting money, aren't they? They just don't care.
They just anything. Live action anything.
Yeah. So what else was there animated? What was Aladdin? Aladdin.
Yeah. And they're making it all into, then they're doing stage shows. It's literally like, what else can we do?
So Aladdin's not, it has not been mentioned, but I remember that was a cartoon that they also did. So surely at some point, that will be one of the live actions.
Cool.
Interesting, Disney.
It's an interesting one. Well, while you've been away, Noel, I've been setting up a game that we regularly play on here, which is like guess the theme tune or guess the soundtrack. Okay. So I thought I'd challenge you, because you know.
I don't know why things have been made up while I'm not here. Unbelievable, but let's do it.
Let's test your film knowledge. So I've prepared a couple soundtracks, and I'm going to give you. I've got my list. Hold on.
Great.
Right.
I'm loving this game already, by the way.
Okay, let's test your film knowledge. Here we go. Here is the first song. Let's see if you can guess where it's from. And you guys can play it at home too, and let us know how many you get.
Emailing. Give me some clues. Help me out.
What do you think it is?
What the fuck, man? Top Gun.
Well done.
Is it Top Gun?
It is Top Gun. You got the first one right.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
Brilliant. Number two.
Superman.
Oh, no.
Oh fuck. Hold on, though. Damn it, I know this as well.
I'll give you a clue. We were just talking about number five.
I know this as well. Pirates of the Caribbean.
It was, yeah.
Damn it. Ignore my Superman comment.
All right, I'll scratch that out. Don't worry.
You're all right.
It's jet lag. Where's this from?
I don't know. E.T. or something like that.
It was Titanic.
Oh, God, that film,
on the
man.
Boat. Jack.
Jack.
He could have fit on that door.
Yeah, she didn't want him on the door. That's the point. She wanted them jewels to herself, greedy bitch.
He could have fit on the door.
Yeah.
How dare you? Okay.
I'm not surprised I didn't know that one. Ugh.
Number four.
Yeah.
Gotta get this one. Kid growing up.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones.
Yes,
business.
It is. So I'm gonna give you three out of four.
Three
so far.
Out of four, I'm
number
loving it.
Five. I think this one's actually really hard. I don't think I'll get this one.
This is Far Away or something, that Irish film with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
It's Armageddon.
Probably. That's what I said, yeah. I said exactly what I said. Bond.
It is the Bond.
Yeah.
Love a bit of Bond.
All right. Good. What else we got?
I've got to let it roll.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I couldn't tell you which Bond. I'm assuming it's Live and Let Die.
It's a classic one, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, number seven.
May it be an evening star.
So, do you want a cue?
Avatar.
No. Master Frodo.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Lord of the Rings or one of those fucking things, yeah.
Okay, number eight.
I have no idea. Oh, wait. No, I have no idea.
Saving Private Ryan. Wants to sing every song. This is number nine.
Number nine, okay.
If you get this, I'll be so happy.
It's either, oh fuck, I don't know. Beauty and the Beast.
Sound of Music. I'll give you it.
Damn it, yes.
I'll give you it. Okay.
Superman.
Oh, well done. Yeah, you know you.
Superman, yeah. I know my dude films.
You know your dude films.
That I got that Sound of Music,
by the
way.
You did get that. So well done. That's number 10.
Yeah.
Okay, 11. Retro. 90s film, I believe. Yeah. I think it's...
Jurassic Park.
No. Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, dude, come on, man. That's before I was born.
Number
12. Oh, flip, man.
One of the biggest musicals
Grease.
Of all time. Yes!
Yeah, what a film that is. If you ain't seen Grease, guys, you need to watch it.
Number 13.
Star Wars.
No. I had a guy who said he wanted to go up the aisle to this.
Yeah?
I was like, I'm not coming up the aisle to Imperial Watch.
Can you imagine that? as you're walking up, like, everyone would be like, mate, don't marry this chick.
number 14. This would be great for the coming out though, out of the wedding. That was a great escape, sorry.
Oh no, oh good, good cue that was. E.T.
E.T., well done. Okay, E.T. So apart from that, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You got 11 out of 15, well
11
done.
11 out of 15 that up was in amazing. This bit. This is how we roll, man.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, I think we should go back to some music and then we're going to move on to speak to our second guest.
Yeah, dude.
So I'm going to go for... Oh, have you seen the latest Creed film? The Rocky...
Yeah, Creed, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, with whatever his name, Jordan B... Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that film. And I also love the soundtrack. So this is in one of the main bits of the film when he's going into the arena. Yep. It's got Krypton Conan. Don't waste my time.
That's right.
So I thought I'd play
our
that for you
Krypton
guys.
Our boy's Krypton Conan on a Brother soundtrack. Brother's still out now.
Yeah, I know. Plug in that till you die. Okay, back row and chill.
If she ain't fucking, she got to go.
Yeah.
Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes.
Word.
Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone.
Yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Oh yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
B-A-H.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Stop.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, 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 no.
Pray to the Lord, nigga. In this cold world, I'm a born sinner. We pour liquor. Girl, come hover. It's all jigger. It's all jigger. Chicks wanna holler. Can't be my baby mama. Cause I don't need that drama.
Drama.
Unless she Rihanna. Most of you assholes are by me. I pop a cherry now, she call me Papa. Papa. She asking me what's on my body.
Body.
Versace, Versace, Versace.
Love.
Been that guy since Oxide Neutrino.
Man.
Bound for the reload.
Damn.
Thick is as big as my ego.
Bam.
Man will give her the D on the dealer.
Yeah.
If she ain't fucking, she got to go.
Yeah.
Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes.
Word.
Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone.
Yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Oh yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Stop.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
B-A-H.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Stop.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Pretty
no,
girl
no.
on my left.
My left.
Pretty girl on my right,
my right, my
south side of that rib,
that rib.
Tell him don't waste my time.
Kaboom!
Trucks rolled up and he's buzzing, screaming out, if they ain't with us, then fuck him. Excuse my French, I ain't worried about nothing.
What?
Nigga,
what?
I ain't worried about nothing. Hacking shows, stacking dough, VIP lounge full of ratchet hoes.
Yeah.
Them boy talking about trapping hoes.
Yeah.
Fuck boys, probably still jacking phones. Roll up in my AJ slippers. Wanna fire, hitting first, yeah, I Ray J niggas. No chase, no chase, till I taste straight liquor. Got my kids in her mouth, that's a play date, nigga.
If
she ain't fucking, she got to go.
Yeah.
Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes.
Word.
Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone.
Yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him don't waste my time.
Stop.
Tell him don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Tell him don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell him don't waste my time.
B-A-H.
Tell him don't waste my time.
Stop.
Tell him don't waste my time.
No, no, no.
Bar Radio.
Turn around, where's my time? Yep, yep.
Doing like a bit of Crep and Conan.
Yeah, they're great.
Right, we've got our next guest who's going to be on the phone line, so we hope technology is going to patch us together. But we've got director Liam Gavin. He directed a film called A Dark Song, which is also at the London
Film festival. Excellent.
It is the time of the year for films, which is great. Great for our show. I haven't yet seen it, but I've read the synopsis of it, and it looks good. I'm not normally into like proper dark stuff.
Depends how dark, though.
But I was intrigued to find out what happened.
Like, so Poltergeist Dark, Donnie Darko Dark, like, you know, let's find out.
Let's find out. Let's see if we can grab Liam on the line.
Hello,
Liam.
There you go. I'm here.
Hi, it's Johanna and Noel.
Hello,
mate.
Welcome on the show. We were just having a quick sort of brief discussion about your film, and well, what it's about, and let people know what they're in for if they're going.
Well, it is a essentially it's quite a dark film, as you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It is about a woman whose child has died, and she's so sort of riddled with grief that she pays an occultist quite a large sum of money to do a black magic ceremony in a house in Wales where they seal themselves off, and it's to make manifest her guardian angel. Now, it's not just like Harry Potter where they kind of quickly do an incantation and draw a diagram and it's done.
Yeah.
It takes 8 months of two people locked in the house.
Wow.
So it is about cabin fever as much as it is about black magic as
yeah.
well. So
wow, and so I mean, where'd you come up with a film like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, was
there? Well,
what the hell are you thinking? Like, what's happening here?
Well, I watched. It is an actual thing. This ceremony.
Oh my god, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one question before you answer the other question about where you came up with it. Does the ceremony work?
In the film.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about real life. Because I don't like boogeymen and ghosts and stuff like that. So.
It's reputed to work. It takes sort of in real life. It takes like 18 months or something to do.
Oh wow. Gosh!
It's
to the occult.
I've been quite careful not in the film. Call me old fashioned to not actually show the incantations and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Just because of, you know, you hear stories from The Exorcist and from Omen and things. So I didn't want to actually sort of do black magic.
Yeah.
So, but the actual way it's manifested itself is kind of accurate. The way that it's about altering people's sort of internal states to manifest a change in the world.
Wow.
So, and it's a really hardcore thing. So,
yeah. So, how did you? Say again. How did you come up with it? What was your?
Well, I was watching a documentary. Do you know who Alistair Crowley is?
Alistair Crowley? No,
he is at the sort of beginning of the last century. He's kind of like quite an important occultist, and he was not a nice man. By any stretch of the imaginations, but he kind of rediscovered this particular ritual, and he did it in a house in Loch Ness, and he got bored halfway through and sort of stormed out, leaving the house. The house is bonkers, where people sort of go mad and commit suicide.
Really?
Well, yeah, yeah.
So he left after 9 months. He couldn't.
Yeah, he just got annoyed and just went. So he was like that as a person. So
I mean, I still got to admire the 9 months he put in, though. Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, when he did it, he got to a stage where, reputedly, there'd be figures that he'd be in a room in the bright sunlight outside, but they'd have to light candles to actually see the actual kind of to do the actual rituals, and there'd be sort of figures standing in the room, but they wouldn't be, they wouldn't be corporeal. So
wow.
You can put your hand through them and stuff.
Wow.
So this is why I'm careful about not to
wow.
do.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You're saying that, you know, allegedly that he got so far into the ceremony that was happening. There were figures in the room that would be in there that were intangible and you could put your hand through.
That's right. So.
Wow.
I mean, I'd like to do an experiment to see if you just put someone in a room for 9 months, whether what you see,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
after being on your own. But, I mean, yeah, because I'm not totally one for horror because I've got an overactive imagination, but reading the story, I did. It was said here now, like into the real, releasing the real world of angels and real demons, and I was like, oh my gosh, I kind of want to find out what happens to this girl and whether it works. And I was compelled enough to go forward into the darkness.
So this is amazing. So is your one, Liam, based on? Was it just something that you then? Did you write this as well?
Yeah, I did write.
Yeah.
This.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So is this something that was based on the guy that you just talked about, or did you just want to come up?
Well,
with your
what
own
I did
one?
Is I got the actual ritual itself. And sort of took it and made it my own, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, of course, yeah, wow.
So it, you know, reduced the I mean, in the film, they are in for the long run. They are in it for a while.
Sure.
But I don't do the full sort of 18 months. I they in real life, people talk about the actual ritual, about their guardian angel being a sort of higher version of themselves and things like that.
Wow.
So others will argue that it is an actual guardian angel. That
wow. Has anyone actually claimed to have finished this then?
lots of people claim to have finished it. It's kind of taken... within the occult circles... Mm. Now, I've got please understand that I am in and of myself, yeah? Mm-hmm. I am not interested in the occult per se. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That it was just a subject matter I chose to set my film in.
Sure. Yeah.
And obviously did my research and everything like that. But me myself, I'm a good Catholic boy. I'm sort of keep away from all that kind of thing my actual living life. But there are lots of people within those circles who would claim to have done it and stuff. But it's a really arduous thing to do. So it would be a badge of honour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so to just tell everyone, listen, when is your screen? When are you screening? When are you screening?
I'm screening tonight.
At
the Curzon, Shaftesbury Avenue.
Great. Nice.
And I'm screening tomorrow at the BFI Screen Theatre 2 or something.
On the South Bank.
On the South Bank.
So guys, a dark song, guys, tomorrow, BFI on the South Bank at what time?
It's tonight it's at 9 and tomorrow it's at 1. At 1.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not watching no film like this at 9 o'clock in the evening.
Watch it in the afternoon if you're of a sensitive imagination.
Yeah, that's right. So go and do something afterwards.
And so I'm guessing you're well chuffed it's in the London Film Festival. And
it's just my first feature. It went over to Texas to the Fantastic Fest where it just went through the roof.
Amazing.
It's just like it's gone kind of nuts. So we're getting really, really good reviews.
Amazing.
So I'm intrigued to see now how it goes in London, because Fantastic Fest is a real genre fest. I don't know if you know it.
No.
Yes, I know a few horror fests.
Yeah, but BFI, it's kind of, I live in London, so it is your home. The first festival I ever went to, film festival, was London. So to get your film in that, it's pretty, it's like a
full circle,
a real badge of honour for yourself.
Yeah,
great.
I feel like we're going to have a meeting, Liam. We're going to have to meet up and have a coffee and talk projects.
I know. So yeah. I've watched lots of your films.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
well, I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, man. I'm going to get your email address from the guys and then I'm going to email you. Let's meet up.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
so.
Great.
Thank you for speaking with us, Liam. Thank you.
Thanks
a great weekend.
Much,
all the best of luck for the show.
Everyone
Thank
go check
you.
Out our dark song.
Thank you. Bye, Liam.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean...
That sounds freaky.
Freaky stuff. That would have been intense filming and intense...
Freaky, horrible, creepy stuff, man. I'm sure the film's great, but I'm not watching films like that.
You know what? That's the one thing as an actress. Like, I would really not... I don't think I would... really take on a role that was like properly occultist, just because I don't think I'd like to think I'd come out of it well healthy.
You know the stuff he's talking
it?
About with the Exorcist and the Poltergeist and all those films where they really went into that stuff, and a lot of cast and crew end up dying.
No, they did, didn't they?
How
many people died on the Exorcist?
Was too
it?
Many
like they kept going through all the girls, didn't they?
Too many, yeah. And blonde white girls are the first people to die.
Exactly, and that's me.
Closely followed by black people.
But, oh my God, if we were in a movie, movie,
you'd die. You die pre-credits, because that's how the films always start. Some pretty white girl, and then stabbed, and then it starts, and I'll be main cast, and I'll be the first to die. That's how it rolls.
Great outlook on our life.
Unbelievable.
Right, next song. So last week I got to speak to Dan.
Is the next song a dark song?
No, it's an up song. It's an uplifting
did you like
song.
That, that's what
where are we going?
Name of the film, yeah.
Touche.
It'll be missed. clearly.
Last week I got to speak to the Daniels, which were the two directors of that new film, Swiss Army Man.
Were they twins or something?
No, they're just friends called the Daniels.
Oh, hold on. You spoke to the two directors. What, they were in here, in the show?
No, we did a call from LA.
Of the two directors of the Daniel Radcliffe film, where he's like some weird little
corpse,
dead erected.
Yeah. So, because I watched the film and then I spoke to them. So catch up on last week's show if you want to hear that. But the Swiss Army Man, weird. Have you seen? No.
I've heard he's got a hard on in the whole film.
Yeah, it's all.
Does he pull his willy out?
There's a lot of fart jokes, and he plays a corpse which has a stiff. stiff.
Does he pull it out?
No, you don't see it. It's just they use
So he can get it out in the thing where he's shagging the horse, but he couldn't get it out. And
you get it on stage. You didn't need nudity in that film. The film was weird enough without seeing his penis, to be fair. But one thing I did love about the movie,
I don't want to see it. I just want to clarify that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, right. I don't want to see it. But the music, I loved the music from the film. So I thought I'd grab one of the tracks, one of my favorite tracks from the Swiss Army Man.
I will save you guys. I will save you.
What? It's a great song.
No, I'll play it. I'm sure it is.
All right, okay.
I will save you. I will save you.
Oh, fuck off. Continue that song. We're back in the room.
We're back in the room.
Right, we've got a lot of emails coming in, which is fun and fantastic. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, you go first.
Yeah, I think this is to me. I think I saw you in Doncaster. Was that you, or do you have a lookalike? It wasn't me. It was a lookalike. End of. Boom.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, go.
Okay, what is a fun fact that people might not be aware of about you? From James in London. Is that to both of us?
To both of us.
Okay, a fun fact. This is so hard. Whenever someone's like, say something nice about yourself, and you're just like, oh.
She did this and doesn't answer questions quickly.
Fun fact. Okay, I used to be able to do the splits, clearly.
Yeah, I've had pictures, I will bring them out. Fun fact about me is I'm actually pretty funny, but, you know.
But people don't get to see that, because they only get to see...
Frowny face.
Hot man, sir.
You get me. Frowny face. So we've got another one. Hey, Noel, I'd like to meet you. Do you meet and greet ever? Or do PAs or something? I do. This is from Fee. Hey, Fee, I do stuff like that. You just have to guess. I keep looking out on my Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
Do a meet and greet.
And then you'll see when we do a meet and greet.
You do a lot of comic cons, don't you?
I do a couple, probably a couple a year, yeah, where I meet loads of people.
It's a good place to come meet you. Get a signature.
Get a
selfie.
Get a cuddle.
Have a little cuddle.
I feel like Fee wants a cuddle, not a signature.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Now, people, are signatures going out of fashion? Because people just want selfies.
They want selfies now.
Yeah.
Bruv, can I take a selfie on my Snapchat out of here? Sorry, I beg your pardon?
I beg your pardon, young man.
What did you say, young man? Anyway, who's in with us?
Right, we've got Lucy Patterson's back in for film review.
And again, thank you for having me again.
No.
You're part of the team, girl.
Yeah. Great part of the show. So every week we go away and we go and do our research, we go do our homework, and then we bring it back to club and we talk about films, what we like, what we didn't like. Bring it back to club.
It's like fine.
It's a good thing it's not like Fight Club, because the first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club.
And it would just be dead air.
But hey, Luz, how you doing?
Great.
So
what film did you see today?
What's everyone seen? What's people seen?
Your face.
First rule of film club is you don't talk about film.
Alright,
really go. What have you guys seen? Alright, like, go.
Okay. This week I have seen Free State of Jones with Matthew McConaughey. Very good. I saw The Girl on the Train.
That's what I want to go see tonight. I think I might go see that tonight.
You should. Everybody should. And Supersonic.
Okay, tell us.
I'm going to start with Supersonic.
Supersonic the Hedgehog?
Sorry. It's a documentary around Oasis, the band, obviously. See, you two can take the piss all you like, but I love them. I absolutely love them. Yeah. You know, and whether you're, you know, I do think you need to be a fan to go and see this, otherwise there's absolutely no point. It only covers a 3-year period. It's from when they formed to when they had their record-breaking shows at Nibworth.
Yeah.
And at first I was thinking, well, that's not enough. I want to know everything else.
Yeah.
But you go out on such a high, and, you know, obviously I was devastated when they split up. Mm. So devastated. And I thought, I don't need to relive that. Yeah. This is all fun. You know, it's full of interviews with all of the past band members, obviously Liam and Noel. And it really, really goes into their family history and things like that. And
do the brothers sit in the same room?
No. See, this is what I liked about it. There was none of that talking heads, you know, boringness. There was a lot of animation.
Oh, that's, I like that new style of documentary.
It was really, really good. I think the director's name was Matt Whitecross. Did he do the Amy?
Yeah, he did a film called Sex, Drugs and Rock and Roll as well that I'm in with Andy Serkis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
That was Matt Whitecross.
Yeah,
I
think he did a brilliant job. It was so different. It wasn't the normal run-of-the-mill, boring old music documentary you see on VH1. You know, this was really a new thing.
Yeah, fuck you, VH1.
Yeah, we don't like you. But yeah, it was a lovely little trip down memory lane. I cried a lot. I laughed a lot. It was very good. You should go and see it if you're an Oasis fan.
So thumbs up for that, yeah?
Definitely.
And it's called
Supersonic.
Supersonic. Go see Supersonic if you're an Oasis fan.
It's out today, actually. I went to... I dragged my ass all the way to Harlow, actually, because they did a live feed of the premiere screening.
Awesome.
There was a Q&A with Liam after, and obviously it was awkward as usual. That man can't be trusted. It was really cringy. But anyway, yeah, go and see it.
Great.
Okay.
Love that.
Cool. And how was Girl on the Train?
Oh my God.
That's something that I didn't get to see it this week, and I wanted to.
My first question is, why didn't she just take the bus?
I tell you what, things would have been much better if she did.
That's why I'm thinking.
Much better if she did. I mean, it's a mystery thriller based on a book, actually, that a hell of a lot of people have read. Now, I don't understand how you can enjoy this film if you've read the book and you know the twist out of it. Because it's a massive twist,
I don't know it yet.
And I really can't talk much about the story at all because it starts unfolding from the second you see her. You know, Emily Blunt is the main character in this, and she has just gone through a divorce. She's spiraling into alcoholism, and she's basically stalking her ex-husband. And a couple of his neighbours.
As you do.
Somebody winds up dead, and it's a massive whodunit. And, you know, they really, really sort of take you off on different leads and things. I was sitting in the cinema going, she did it, he did it, she did it. And in the end, none of them did it that I said, you know.
Had you not,
I didn't get it right
book?
At all. No.
Oh, okay, great. Because I quite like that, because I wanted to see the... I wanted to read the book, and then I'm happy I haven't, because I get to have that experience.
See, this is the thing, you get the twist.
I think I've figured it out already.
Really?
I think so.
I thought I had, and I am a bit of a smart ass with things like that. I genuinely get it, and I'm like, yeah, I knew the whole time.
Yeah, but this,
didn't
is,
have a clue.
This is fucking Sherlock. This is Clark.
Yeah, that's true.
I do this for a living. I feel like I know what's going to happen. Anyway, I feel like I know what's going to happen. So
go on to whatever the next one is.
Yeah. Okay, well, I went to see Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, the Tim
Burton. I've seen that.
Well, I
really?
it was a mix. It was a mix.
Yeah.
There was things about it I really enjoyed.
How many black people in it?
One.
Samuel Jackson. One.
Samuel Jackson.
He did write that part just for him, though.
Oh, really? For Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah.
No, I loved it for some reasons and I hated it for others, which were kind of personal. So I love the time travel element of it, and then getting stuck in time loops and getting stuck in the same day, really cool, actually. In 1943. Mm. And I love all of Tim Burton, like the costume-wise and the characters. So
he's always amazing,
isn't it? It's proper. All the kids that were in it, and it was heavily reliant on these amazing kid actors.
Yeah.
They got to wear the most incredible costumes, and it was beautiful. And
yeah.
So
they're always gorgeous to look at, his films, aren't they?
Visually, I really enjoyed the story, and I enjoyed all the time travel. I love time travel and things like that, Back to the Future kind of thing. What I didn't like was the actual story was about these creatures that you couldn't see. Only the main protagonist could actually see these monsters called Hallows, and they prey on their victims, and they eat their eyeballs.
Oh, gross!
And I don't know what it is about Tim Burton, because he's done previous films about eyes being removed.
Yeah.
And that is like a number one phobia, personally, of mine. So for me, that might as well have been like an 18 horror. I was like, and like they do extended scenes of eyes being taken out and eyes being eaten. And so I felt a little bit ill, personally, from that. But I mean, maybe not for the cinema. So my review would be, don't bother going seeing it at the cinema. Yeah. Just catch it up whenever it's on a Netflix or on TV. Or it's probably going to be on at Christmas at some point, sometime.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
So... yeah,
it'll be on Netflix before you know it. But then sometimes I do think that with Tim Burton's films, do you not have to be there at the big screen to appreciate it, or was it not a case of that?
Not this time? I don't think this one. No. I think you could easily watch this one at home. It wasn't epic. It was beautiful, but not epic on screen.
Not epic enough. So.
So I was glad I saw it, and I like Evergreen, and I think that the people who, and it's an interesting story, but it was a yet and a no. Which is, have I got my soundbite for you? Yeah, it's, oh no, no, I don't. Oh,
oh no,
my,
it's
I've
gone.
I've lost my soundbite. I've only got hell no or a yeah. So,
oh, that's no good.
I'll give it a little yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool. So what was the other film you saw? You saw the Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, I did. Free State of Jones. Now, this was another biographical film. There seems to be one of these lately. But then, you know, where else do you get your stories from? It was about Matthew McConaughey. He was a deserter during the Civil War in America.
Okay.
Basically, he was based on a real person called Newton Knight.
Nice name.
Now, I'd never heard of him. No. I'd never heard of him. Obviously, I knew about the Civil War and things like that. And apparently, a lot of the story is fictional.
Okay.
But some of the events that take place... did take place. You know, it's one huge history lesson. Mm-hmm. He deserts the army and he ends up hiding in the Louisiana swamps with some runaway slaves. And, you know, so obviously there's a racial aspect to it as well. And there's a time period where they live in these, in the swamp. You know, and they make their own little town and all that. And then they decide to fight back against the soldiers and they go and take various counties back from the soldiers. Where they got the weapons from, I don't know. A lot of it is quite dubious, but I have read that it was very well researched and, you know, not a lot of artistic license was used, just certain scenarios to piece bits together.
Okay. Just a patchwork of history.
Yeah, but, story. You know, it's an important film because, you know, the person I saw it with as well, you know, me included, we were absolutely shocked at some of the things that happened, you know, and it's a history lesson. So everybody go and see it. Matthew McConaughey is amazing.
Does he have a southern drawl?
He does.
He has a southern
drawl.
See,
he's got a slight one anyway, hasn't he?
Oh my God.
It's just, it's literally like getting a cuddle in the cinema. It's just amazing. Like, he's so much more pronounced. And he's absolutely filthy the whole way through, but it just doesn't matter. He's very good. perfectly cast.
Okay, so that was a
yep
from you.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Well, I'm going to definitely go and see The Girl on the Train.
Yes, do.
And I'm going to also, I've got so much. I want to go and see Magnificent Seven as well. You really inspired me last. So I might just do a whole cinema day trip veg out. Overdose on popcorn.
Yeah, do a double bill or a triple bill if you dare.
I tried to do a triple bill once, but it was 3D and I got such a headache. Oh, I nearly passed out. It was like over my senses.
Overstimulation.
I was just like on the floor.
Maybe stick to the double bill then.
Yeah, maybe just stick to the double. Right, let's go back to a little bit of music. And thank you so much, Lucy, for coming
in. Thank you for
having
me.
See
you next week.
All right, this next song, I'm going to go back for The Bodyguard, going back to really 80s. Bit of Whitney Houston. This is Queen of the Night.
Oh, love Whitney. Good
from
choice.
The Bodyguard. I could sing like Whitney. Right, so we're coming live from FUBAR Radio. Noel Clark and Johanna James, Back Row and Chill. Sometimes we can't squidge guests in on the live show, so we have to run and pre-record interviews with them. And earlier today, this lunchtime, I got to meet the director, Justin Kelly, who directed the new film King Cobra, which is going to be at the London Film Festival, and it's going to be coming out in cinemas later on in the year. Here's a little clip from the film, so you can hear what I'm talking about.
I'm willing to give you $25,000 for one video.
I'm not losing you to anybody.
You can't stop me from using my name.
I trademarked it.
I'm the one who calls the shots around here.
You're Brent Corrigan. You have to do this video. If Steven is the only one standing in your way...
Epic. Check out the trailer, guys, on Google the trailer for King Cobra. It's the true story of a young guy setting out in LA entering the porn industry and the gay porn industry, and he gets involved and it gets dark very, very quickly. True story. And his manager ends up getting murdered over all the sort of sordid underworld of the porn industry. So I met with the director earlier today. So here is our interview, and he's absolutely amazing guy, really, really friendly and lovely. And you should be able to see on our Facebook page, you'll be able to see the video of when I met him as well. So here's what he had to say about King Cobra.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, Johanna James, FUBAR Radio. I'm here with Justin Kelly.
Hello, how are you?
And we're here to talk about mainly your brand new film, King Cobra.
Yes, it premiered last night and we have one more screening today. And I think it's the last one. So if people missed it, then they'll have to wait till it comes out.
Yeah, and it comes out end of October?
October 21st in, in select theaters and VOD, et cetera, in the States. Mm-hmm. And I don't know our exact release date for Europe yet.
Oh, okay.
It'll be soon, so I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
And so people don't know what King Cobra is about, it's based on a true story. I'll let you...
Yes. Yeah. It's based on a very wild true story about a young aspiring gay porn star who becomes so popular and in demand that a producer of his is murdered over his contract.
And that was totally true. Yes,
totally
and
true.
Did you just hear about that story and think, oh my God, I need to make a movie? Or was it, what was the process in?
I read about it and it's such a crazy story that, of course, you know, your first thought is, how did this happen and why? Mm. And the more I read about it and learned about the characters, the more fascinating the entire story became. And I just felt like it would make a really interesting, unique, cool movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, there aren't a lot of movies out there about gay porn, so I figured...
No, there isn't. Not like mainstream.
Why not give it a go?
Yeah. And I think maybe, even though it wasn't porn, but I think like Magic Mike and films like that have kind of opened up maybe more of that sex industry into mm-hmm. being in mainstream film, which is good. Well, it's great for everybody.
Yeah. Sex sells, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you've got some fabulous people who are cast in the movie. Like Molly Ringwald has come out of... Come back. She's coming back, which is... It was an odd choice for her, I think, like considering her like bubblegum history for her role. So I was really excited to see Molly.
She's awesome.
James Franco. You've got Garrett Clayton.
Garrett Clayton.
Who plays your lead.
He's a lead. He comes from a Disney Channel past. And so, you know, it's his wild crossover grown-up role.
Yeah. And he's absolutely gorgeous as well. Yeah. And is he gay, straight, or was he playing? Or
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
He's playing gay.
Okay.
And he I was like trying to find someone who had that sort of split appeal of being able to have the kind of young boyish sort of look, but at the same time be able to pull off that kind of confident porn star vibe.
Yeah, because I saw the, if you want to check out the trailers, guys, I went onto Google and you can find the trailer for King Cobra, and the little snippets that I got to see was super realistic. I really felt like it was this boy, young guy, you know, being asked to take off his clothes for his first ever porn. And
oh yeah,
very yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He you know, plays a super seemingly kind of naive kid from San Diego who's trying to make something of his life and get out of his mother's apartment and make some money, and does it by going to some guy's basement in Pennsylvania and making porn.
And is it set modern day, or is it, because it was a true story, is it set back in the time of...
Yeah, it's period, but you know, pretty recent period. It was early to mid 2000s.
Okay.
You know, so not that long ago, but it was long enough ago to where we still had to be particular with costumes and set dressing and, you know, old websites and computers and cameras. And it was really fun for me because, you know, early 2000s are fun.
You get to go back. Yeah, it's like retro. Like
because baggy jeans and...
Oh, yeah. All of the... What was it?
Early digital camcorders.
Yeah, like flip phones and things like that.
Garrett's character has a flip phone for sure.
Amazing.
So like long enough to where, you know, we'd pay attention to that, but it made it really fun actually to make.
And there's a... Because even the porn industry has changed in the last 10 years then, because so much is just all about like internet. But back in the day, there was a lot of money in porn movies. So I can understand maybe the murder, like the reason for murder and... It's a big business.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the story, you know, it's to the Joe and Harlow, played by... Joe is James Franco, Harlow is Keegan Allen, and they are these two wild, you know, they start off as kind of gay escorts, so that's the company they run, and then they move into porn to make more money. and become obsessed with Brent Corrigan, Garrett Clayton's character. And it was all true. They really thought they made a lot of money, but then they fell into really heavy debt, you know, so American.
Yeah.
and they've really believed that making a video with this star Brent Corrigan would make them millions. Yeah. They became obsessed with it to the point to where it led to a murder, because the only way to kind of get Brent free from this contract was to off the producer who sort of like held the contract, which is crazy to even think that you would do that in the first place, let alone get away with it.
Unhinged. And casting wise, did you approach people for roles, or did you have lots of auditions? How was like the pretend porn audition process?
Well, James Franco was attached before I wrote the script, because he's a producer on it, and
okay.
he really, without him, the film never would have happened. It's the same with my first film, I Am Michael. Mm. He was very like instrumental in getting it off the ground and helping get it made and financed and everything. Mm. And yeah, so he was attached from day one, and of course that helped get other people involved. And the next was the Steven character, and I knew that James worked with Christian Slater on this film called Adderall Diaries.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I just was—I'm such a Slater fan. I grew up with The Heathers and True Romance, and
yeah.
he's just so fucking cool. Oh wait, I can't cuss.
Yeah, you can swear. You can swear. It's FUBAR. It's fine.
He's so cool. he's never played gay, and it's a pretty wild role for first time gay character.
Yeah,
he's a gay pornographer into very young boys, so I didn't know if he'd be interested at all, but he read the script and we had dinner and talked about it, and he signed on really quickly. Yeah.
But
I think just sort of, not that he was so excited in that sense. I think just thought, I can only imagine the scripts that these actors get, plenty of great scripts, but this one, it did stand out because it's a really wild story, and I think he just got excited at the idea of doing something different.
And so this is this your second sort of major feature? And how did you go, right, I want to direct. This is what I want. Did you want
to
act before?
I've always wanted, my whole life, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker.
Okay.
Yeah, always wanted to direct. Yeah, I don't know why. I went to movies with my dad all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just been my obsession. And so I wanted to fight to the death to become a director.
And it's, you're doing it. You're in.
Long road to get here, but it paid off and it was worth it.
And so what's next? What would be your, now that you've done sort of two substantial films, what would be the next project?
It's kind of crazy. I actually already shot my third film,
okay,
which
done,
is
boom.
Nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really cool. We shot Cobra. Actually, we shot Cobra exactly a year ago.
Wow. It's a quick turnaround.
It was a very quick turnaround. Yeah. From script to the entire process was so fast. It almost feels, I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
And then this past summer, so, Cobra was completely done post-wise. We premiered at Tribeca in April.
Uh-huh.
And then because of the response from the festival, I was able to get a third film off the ground that we shot that summer. So just a couple months ago.
Rolling.
And it's a complete departure. It's kind of a family drama. It's not gay. It's not a true story.
Okay.
So, I wanted to, mix it up.
Yeah, because people might be a little bit like, oh, okay, so you do the gay true stories. And be like, no, boom.
I don't want to be put in a corner.
Try this.
No.
Yeah.
Try a family drama with a weird supernatural kind of backstory. It's great.
Amazing. And what would be the future goals then? Where would you like to sort of, what would be the real I've made it moment?
Good question. I mean, I'm always kind of drawn towards sort of scandalous or controversial or, weird stories. But I definitely want to, to make one that would be a bit more accessible, like a bit more mainstream, which, I feel like is on the horizon. So yeah, there's not a particular story or genre or anything. Just, if I can continue to make cool stories that are unique and different, but that are also, accessible, which oddly enough, this one I think will be, even though it's about gay porn. But just it's a bit, it's a really entertaining movie and funny at times in
it's
a way
story,
you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, just keep making cool movies.
Well, thank you. All the best of luck. Yes, well, you're absolutely killing it right now. So just keep running.
I'm gonna keep running. Great.
Keep
thank
running.
You so much for having me. Yeah.
Thank you. On FUBAR Radio. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thing. Very esteemed friend of ours, the Heavy Trackers.
Hello!
When we were outside, you know, we talk about Bumbly Kids.
Yeah, we didn't prepare for this. Normally, you go on radio and it's like no swearing. Walk in and it's just straight up like, yeah, I'll use my thumb for
that's
this.
Fubar,
it's
just baby. Like,
it's great fun.
Our manager's like, yeah, you're going out there, you're just going to promote the CD and then you're just going to get out
of
there.
That. No, my watch.
Walk
no.
in there. Yeah, mate, have you had your bum lick, son?
No. We don't even need to talk about the CD. We just talk about this.
Yeah, that's it. We're all friends, isn't it?
Every Wednesday.
With Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Hey guys, we're about to get Doc Brown in the studio. So if you've got any questions that you want to ask Doc, then tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com. We'll have Noel Clark and Doc Brown in the studio. So let us know what you want us to talk about. And we're going to be going Facebook Live as well. If you've got access to your Facebook, we're going to be going Facebook Live in the next half an hour. And have any of you guys played Cards Against Humanity? Because I'm going to be introducing it to the guys and we're going to be playing that hilarious, awesome, awful game. Hilarious, awful? What am I trying to say? It's awfully hilarious. Okay, we're going to go to our next song. This is Land of a Thousand Dances by Wilson Pickett, which was featured in the film The Full Monty. So one of my faves currently at the moment.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Potato through the alligator.
Wilson Pickett there. That song ended way before it said on the track. Oh, now it's still going!
That's Jeff Wilson.
That would be why. That's
why, man. That's why.
It went down and up.
Wilson Pickett, is that what the fuck you've been playing while I've been
That's from the Monty Python. That's from the Full Monty soundtrack.
The Full Monty soundtrack. Oh, great, great choice.
Fantastic film.
I will save you, listeners. I will save
you. He's not liking my music choices. Yeah.
So do you have like a selection each? Because last time I was here, it was just you. So you were just running the
show. So I was just literally putting on whatever the fuck I like.
I don't have it. So Doc Brown's here. Doc Brown. Oh,
yeah. Doc Brown, guys.
That's the third voice you're hearing.
Yeah.
Woo, woo, guys.
Doc Brown. Yeah.
Hello.
No, I just kind of let her choose the music. I just let her know if I disapprove.
I see.
You know.
What I
mean? You know, he's basically just whinges.
Real positive influence.
Yeah, I'll be like, "What the hell is this? Why are you chosen this?
What this?
What are you bringing to the table?" Well, I'm not. I don't have any alternatives. But I'm just saying, I hate your music.
Essentially, that's what happens.
You're
just
judging me. I like music, and I love soundtracks. And every song I play is in a movie somewhere.
Okay.
So it's related to the film industry.
Nice.
Or something. Always. And it's a big wide. You know, got a wide variety of people listening. So
yeah, but also it's the banter in it. Like she knows I love her. So I let her pick her thing. It's an extra 10 minutes of me giving her a hard time, which people like. They email,
right,
they
okay.
email, they like it. They like the dynamic between
us. I see.
Sitting on me.
Sitting on you. That's a different show. That's a different show.
That's after 9.
So how you doing, man? What's happening?
I'm good. I'm having some much needed respite. It was kind of a couple of years there of not really resting at all. I guess because, you know, when opportunities come your way in our business, and you know how short that that period of time that your candle might burn, you know, I've just been going for it. But I got off like the press junket for Ricky's film, Ricky Gervais's film.
And did you guys tour? Where did you tour?
Well, we did. We just did everywhere, but we didn't have to travel everywhere. So a lot of people came to London.
So
but
you didn't get to go to Japan or anything?
No. We dealt with all the press, but most people came to Soho Hotel.
See,
I think
we're losing out. I think we're losing out, you know, Doc, because, you know, our friend Arnold, you know Arnold Ochin?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, he did The Good Lie, and he toured the world. I don't know why we can't tour the world. Like, he's in Japan, places where they don't even have black people, and Arnold was there.
That's very true. But I guess if you speak to most actors, they would tell you that that's the real sort of graft of the job that they don't necessarily look forward to, you know. But, you know, these days you're contracted to that the same way as you're contracted to act in the flipping
film.
I've
got three kids. I look forward to it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I know that and I hear that. I think the one thing I learned from it, because it's the first time I've ever done it, is that if the film is good, that job is a hell of a lot easier. Because there were some days where I wasn't even sure if I was saying the same thing twice to the same interviewer, because you were doing like 10, 15 in a row.
In a row, yeah.
And I just thought, wow, imagine if the film was shit. Mm. Like, that must be so hard. School, and that must happen every day to actors.
The listeners, like, so when Doc just said we do 10 to 15 interviews in a row, we're talking about literally, because people don't know this, we literally sit in a room and people come in back to back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back
to back. And the biggest break you'll get is when someone will go, do you want any more water? And that's it. And you're like, I don't need any more water.
To, or if you need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even have time for that.
And here's the interesting thing. Most of these people come in and they go, you've probably heard this all day. I've got a really original question, though. And they ask the same damn questions that we've been asked all day long. Am I lying?
That's very, very true. And I think anytime someone just comes out of left field with a question, they get the best interview. And it really makes me laugh listening to interviews or pre-records with other actors, other artists, and then when it comes back to the studio live, the host will say something along the lines of, oh yeah, I think he was a bit jet lagged, he wasn't very responsive. And I'm thinking, I'm sat there listening at home thinking, yeah, but your questions were so boring. You've been hearing the same
shit all day.
But you know what I'm saying, like, if you want to get the best out of an artist, then engage them.
Yeah,
so there's a film show on, I don't want to plug other film shows, but there's a film show on Five Live with Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode.
Oh, I quite like them, though.
And I take, well, they're big fans of you, man.
I love them.
They're big fans of you.
Mark Kermode is my G.
Yeah, he bigs you up regular.
Yeah.
But anyway, when Simon's away, I take his place. You know.
Fantastic.
And the last time I was on it, I interviewed Ben Kingsley, so I was part of that junket, the other side. And I could see what the other interviewers are doing, and I just thought, I'm just like, because the BBC was saying, this is what you should say, this is what you shouldn't say. And I was like, you know what? Let me do it my way.
Yeah,
I just feel like, I don't know the guy, but I feel like I can engage him.
Yeah, and you did.
So, number one, I'm not going to call him Sir Ben. I'm just going to chat to him.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh, I don't know. And I was like,
did
listen.
You go, yo, Benny?
Benny.
B.
hey, yo, B. Saying? BK.
You know what? I just, I obviously, I bigged up his movie. I'd seen it, so I thought, yeah, you know what? It's a decent movie, so I don't have to lie. So, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I bigged up the movie, got him on side, and then I did a bit of research on him, and I didn't realise he was of mixed parentage,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yes.
So I said, you know what, like, I've found, like, as an actor, having a mixture of cultures in my family it's informed me on, like, it's given me, I don't want to say a universal voice, but it's made me open me up from a young age to very different experiences, which I think has informed my skills as an actor. What do you think about that, coming from a biracial background? And you should have seen his eyes lit up.
Yeah.
His eyes just lit up, and he was fully engaged. And then from that point on in the interview, I swear down, you can look this up on the iPlayer or whatever, he goes, see, the thing about you and I, Ben, the thing about people like us is we are social chameleons, you know, and the thing about you and I, people like me, people like you. No one's getting this interview today.
Of course not.
Nobody.
Good impression.
I'm very proud of it. But, you know, it just goes to show.
Yeah.
One small thing that's just sort of off.
100%.
Just out of left field. You're going to engage an artist.
Because Johanna does that, and we often try to educate our young listeners, or not young, but our listeners, that a lot of them want to get into the business.
Yeah.
If you ever become someone who's interviewing talent, you know, always look for a different angle. Don't just go in with the same questions. Try and, you know, like Doc just said there, he found a way to engage Ben Kingsley and probably got the best interview out of everyone. And I think it's not just a cynical thing of just trying to get the best interview. That should be standard practice anyway. It's about just trying to be interested and understand that these people could have had 20 or 30 people in that.
And also think genuinely about a conversation that you would be interested in.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about when you see your mates, you're not going to ask them the same stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're going to want a fresh, interesting conversation every time you see your mates. So
hey,
think
Bill,
about
was,
it like
how
that.
How was that packet of crisps, Bill? John just asked me that. Well, I'm asking you again, just
I find hiding alcohol in my underwear, that always is a nice icebreaker for my interviews.
Yeah.
I don't have any
right now.
she says.
There we go. Whiskey.
Yeah.
Are we talking like airplane miniatures here?
Yeah, it's kind of like been my little thing when I do junkets. If I'm interviewing celebrities, I'll like whip out just to break the ice, and or do something. Yeah, just do something completely wacky.
Yeah,
well, I mean that would,
and it works.
Yeah,
she's got that down. You've been doing pretty well with that, actually.
Yeah, I've been doing a couple. Or do like Freudian slips or things like that. So it's
okay.
Quite fun.
Yeah, because they're always like.
Did she just wake him up a bit?
Yeah. Or people, they think I look quite, you know, nice and innocent, and then I'll just, like, I went in, my first ever interview was with Marlon Wayans for 50 Shades of Black. Mm-hmm. And, like, I went in and was like, hello, hello, and I thought he was, like, great, another, you know, interview. And I was like, so 50 Shades of Grey was good. Is Black better? And then he looked at it, and then went, I see where we're going. And then, like, our interview just went off on another level of sexual innuendo.
There you go. So tell me, man,
how did you find the whole life on the road? Because I'm assuming, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I'm not always up on it. You know what it's like when you work in this business, you don't always see your peers all the time. That's your biggest project to date, right?
Without a doubt, I mean, my work on TV was getting more developed with each job, which is nice. I kind of make a point of trying to do something that I haven't done before and push myself. So I'd just completed probably my second sort of big kind of mainstream drama, which was a series for ITV1 called Brief Encounters. And I had the opportunity to play a character over six episodes who was really going through some shit, and it was just like, it was such a beautiful opportunity for me, because I've always felt that I've been able to do it, but as soon as you become accustomed to comedy or you're seen as somebody who does comedy, a lot of the time you're not trusted with these kind of dramatic roles. So I'd done that, but I always knew, I'd known for a couple of years that the Ricky movie was on the cards, because we work closely together outside of the movie world and have done for about 3.5 years now. I've been writing together, and
I didn't know that. That's amazing. Yeah.
And in 2013, we did a sketch based on the two characters from the movie for comic relief. And since then, we've been talking about putting a movie together. So it was a different experience to all the other acting work I've done, because obviously all the other work I've been, auditioning for and just trying to get involved. Whereas the movie, I was there from the inception.
So did you write on the movie as well?
Yeah.
So you've got co-written credit, or
no? The way it's done is like, everything is everything is written and directed by Ricky, which is kind of understandable, because it's his baby. Brand, but the way Ricky works is similar to Larry David or to Christopher Guest, in that he creates scenes and allows looseness for the actors to contribute.
Yeah.
But I was there from a blank page, and I was contributing written stuff from the very beginning.
Fantastic.
For my character and for our scenes together. I guess I was hoping for a co-writing credit, but you have to search pretty far down the credits to find any reference to it. It's cool. I like being the underdog. I'm always the underdog, and I think
I'm always an underdog.
That's true. I think when you see the movie and you see what my character's doing, I think it's kind of clear that one person could have written that.
For people who haven't seen the film, what is your character? Who do you play within
the? Okay, so the film sort of, it's a contrivance. It's a mock documentary. It's a contrivance that the film crew are picking up on David Brent's life. 12 years later, after the original documentary, The Office, and finding out where he is now. And where he is now is very troubled. He's been through therapy. He's had a nervous breakdown, and he's come out the back of that and decided that what he's going to do is spend every penny that he's got on trying to become the rock star that he always felt he could be. So that's kind of the conceit. And then my character, I play a guy that he saw at an open mic, a rapper that he saw at an open mic that he agrees to manage, and then sort of just steps all over his fledgling career, forces him to come on tour with him with this awful, rock band. And it's kind of a buddy movie. There's a fish out of water element to it as well.
Yeah.
And it's two guys who really shouldn't be together, but are.
Yeah.
Go on.
What do you think's in the air this year in terms of the music scene, the quotation mark urban music scene seems to come back, and then films like Life on the Road, which is Ricky Gervais, David Brent after 12 years, Bridget Jones.
Yes.
Which is Bridget Jones after
12 years.
After 12 years. Brotherhood as well. It's come back as a film after 10 years. I mean, do you think that, and I know I'm responsible for one of those, and you are partly as well, but do you think that we're running out of ideas, or do you think that bringing back these brands is something that... is a good thing for cinema, because they've all come out and they've all done numbers. So, like, you know, what's
it's a
your,
really interesting question, because Bridget Jones has done amazing.
Yeah. I've really
and
enjoyed
I'll,
it.
I'll be honest, I didn't see that coming.
No, I did.
But I think I always believe if there's genuinely a story to tell, then why not?
Yeah.
I've always thought that.
Yeah.
Because I think you can tell the difference. I think the audience can tell the difference when it's like, well, we had to do another one, otherwise the box set wouldn't have really been a box set. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they can tell. Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, you look at a film like Creed. I expected Creed to be awful.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty much widely accepted that that was a great return to form.
It's a great film.
And if you really analyse it, it is just Rocky all over again, yeah, like, with a different character.
Yeah.
But it works. And I think sometimes when there's a tried and tested format that works, but more importantly, that people love elements within that format, if you can honestly tell some kind of a new story around that, then why the hell not?
Yeah, but you know what I mean as well? Because obviously I know why I did it, but it feels like it's not just coincidence. There must have been a feeling in the air of people going, do you know what? We should bring these back, you know what I mean? And they're all coming out of the same.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and,
like,
and our films have done numbers as well, just they're not the same budget as Bridget Jones.
No, of course. Yeah. With our movie, the decision was made based on sort of general feedback, because we put these characters together for comic relief, and we just waited for the video to go online and see what the happened. Feedback was like, and it was crazy. I mean, we thought it might be good, we felt what we did was funny, but it was way better than we imagined, and we sort of based our initial decisions of, you know, self-confidence
on that.
The bigger question of whether we're running out of ideas or not, who knows? I always think it's sort of like peaks and troughs, you know, with movies. There's always a period where everything's based on a book as well, you know, everything's on a novel. Like, where are the original screenplays? Yeah. You know, who are the guys that are just come up with a great idea and it is a movie?
Yeah.
Because, you know, films often get compared unfavorably to a book, and understandably so, because you can get more detail and emotion out of a book time.
Yeah.
But I do think it's peaks and troughs, because there's always something around the corner that comes up and changes the game.
Boom.
You know,
cool. And we have done that.
Wait, guys, I want to play. I've got a challenge to bring you guys. We're going to go Facebook Live in a minute, so I'm going to
Facebook Live.
I'm going to quickly get the game ready. Yeah. We've had a lot of emails coming in being like, oh my gosh, Noel and Doc together, this has been my dream.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
It's amazing. Can you guys work together? Amazing.
Martha in Ladbroke Grove. Yeah, Martha.
We're just going to take a second.
What kind of dream, Martha? What kind of dream? That's what I want to know.
I bet you want to know. Right, we'll be right back, and we're going to play Cards Against Humanity with Noel Clark and Doc Brown.
FUBAR Radio presents
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Cat Fox and Laurie Peters.
Wagwan, you bad stuff. Let me tell you a little thing about myself. I'm a bad man. Listen to FUBAR Radio at 12 o'clock on Thursdays for When We Waffle with Laurie Peters, Cat Fox and Terry Minor. It's a great ripping yarn. Wagwan!
Every Thursday,
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Cat Fox and Laurie Peters.
From 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, we're back. We're going to play. I was just trying to explain the rules, and I thought I might as well explain the rules to everyone who's listening.
This is
Cards Against Humanity. It's one of the best, like, pub games or anything for a night out. It's a game of wit. I'm just going to test your wit and see how funny you are, because you guys both write comedy, so let's see who's funniest.
I don't write comedy.
That's not how I would describe Noel Clark, but yeah.
I don't write comedy. Okay, so it's white cards and black cards.
Okay.
I'm going to go first round. So normally, the person who plays the black cards, it's the first person who pooped that day, the last person who's pooped that day. So, but we're going to forget that, and I'm going to just
poop.
It's the actual rules of the game.
I don't play good shit.
And what what am I supposed
so
to do?
So the point is, for example, I will read a black card, which is normally a statement, and on the white cards, you have got funny answers.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to read out a statement. We'll do a mock one, which is in the new Disney Channel original movie, Hannah Montana struggles with blank for the first time. And you guys have got to look through your cards, find what you think is the funniest filler.
Okay. So
you hand it to me. Yeah, I
all
read it out, and then whoever I think wins the funniest answer.
I can look at these. Oh,
I didn't realize I could look
at
all
of them. Yeah,
you can look. Okay, great.
Okay, so for the first round, that was we'll put that one down. I'll pull out another black card.
I've laid out mine. I've got 10 here.
Yeah, I'm laying them out now.
Okay, so this is the first one. Ready?
Yes.
So instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children blank. What?
Who's going first?
Just submit to me.
I'd go for horse meat.
Okay, well, you can hand it to me.
Oh, I give it to you, do I?
Yeah.
There you go.
And then hand me yours. And then I'll go, instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children horse meat. Or instead of coal, Santa now gives the children a middle-aged man on roller skates.
It's easily that
okay.
one.
Okay, no, you win that worst round.
I thought I might with that one.
Okay, so the second one. What's there a ton of in heaven? I'm going to give you some more white cards. So that
okay,
you can,
thank you.
You can be creative there. Okay, no, we've got Noel's in there, so I'm not going to look at what it is. I'm going to wait till I read it out to give you guys fair. Doc, what's your...
I'm liking this game.
I'm going to go for that.
It's
one.
So funny. Okay, so what's there a ton of in heaven? Authentic Mexican cuisine.
That's hard to come by.
What's there a ton of in heaven? An erection that lasts for longer than 4 hours.
That's even harder to come by.
I think the erection is going to win that round.
You
got a round each. Well done.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so the next round. What helps Obama unwind? What do you think?
Come on, I'm going to go for that one.
Okay, got Doc's. Yeah, I'm not looking what it is.
This is kind of more political than it is funny. But
okay. What helps Obama unwind? Sexy pillow fights.
Okay.
What helps Obama unwind? Not giving a shit about the third world.
Political, see?
Okay, no one wins that one.
It is easier.
Low blow.
It is easier.
Okay. What gets better with age? Let's have a look.
Oh, man, this is... disgusting.
Is it? I'm laughing already. I don't even know what it is. Okay.
My one is technically true, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine is 100% not true, and anyone who agrees with it needs to see a doctor.
What gets better with age? Child beauty pageants.
That's class.
That's dark, no?
And, it's dark, but class.
What gets better with age? Concealing a boner.
It does.
Yeah, because
they're both true.
Yeah, it's not like the old days where you get up halfway through your lesson in class and it's just there.
Bro, I used to be able to hang a wet beach towel on my shit, and now it just drops to the ground. Like,
I know, I feel age. It. I know the yeah.
I bet you do.
Seriously, those are the days. Right, next one. Okay, what would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Okay, I've got a selection from the dark. So what would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Noel, you gotta pick one.
These are all shit, no?
Yeah. That's the problem, mate. Once you've been through the first few rounds.
There you go.
I can give you... Okay, so what would Grandma find...
This one.
Oh, okay, you're right, you can change it. What would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Goblins.
Goblins.
Yeah.
What would Grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? The clitoris.
Yeah. I bet Grandma's never found that shit.
Depends on when she was born, I think.
Do you know what?
If she's born before 1970,
one of those hood grannies from now where she's like 37.
Oh, yeah, she knows what that is
all about.
When I first played this game, I played it with my younger brother, and we all played it, and he got that, and he went, what's the clitoris? And we burst out and we were like, Google it, mate.
This is a problem. How old is your brother?
He was about 17 at the time.
This is a problem, you see. You young boys don't know where the details are.
The goods are.
Mm. Yeah.
You gotta research that.
Old man like me can take you a girl.
I can't say that I knew when I was 17.
Of course you did. Come on, Doc.
I can't say that I knew.
I don't know.
Yeah, man, I knew.
To be
my mum was a nurse. I'd be reading them anatomy books when she's at work.
Nice. I had a book in my house that was called The Breast, but there was nothing about the clitoris in there. It was very scientific. It was just
breast.
About the breast, and that was. Yeah,
I had
that
was we had
what, just one breast or
early
like?
Volumes. No, it was
Bob the breast. It was about like one of the Mr. Men,
but
Bob the
like
breast.
It was called the breast. I guess that gave it sort of gravitas.
Now, mum, see, my mum, as soon as she's, I'm going to work, darling. All right, mum, bam, anatomy, but right.
Yeah, no, I was the same with the breast.
That's quite a shame that all you had was a little scientific.
No, I also had the Littlewoods catalogue.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
fine.
I had the next catalogue.
Yeah.
The underwear section.
Boom. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There used to be this girl in there and she had these pubes and you could see them through her pants and everything. I used to go nuts, man.
Such an innocent time when you think about it.
Innocent.
You know what I mean?
It was so innocent.
The Littlewoods catalogue.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
I think you won that round. You won that.
Early masturbation. Yeah. Doc Brown, no Clark.
Yes.
Tune in next week.
Thanks so much for coming on again.
Pleasure.
Amazing. We're going to go for our last song.
I missed you last time. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to go for our last song of the day, which is from the Deadpool soundtrack again. There was two that I liked on there.
Awesome.
So thanks for tuning in, everyone, today. We'll see you next week.
What's
for
the song?
It's Calendar Girl.
Great.
I will save you.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
King is back. I love, I love, I love my calendar girl.
Start the year off fine.
February,
you're my little Valentine.
March,
I'm gonna march you down the aisle.
April,
you're the Easter bunny when you smile. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl. I love, I love, I love my little calendar girl. Every day,
every day,
every day,
every day
of the year. Junior prom, like a firecracker, I'm aglow. When you're on the beach, you steal the show. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl. I love, I love, I love my little calendar girl. Every day,
every day,
every day of the year.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.